Happy Friday, February the 28th. This is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. Season 2020, Episode 10, The Power of Others Podcast. Easy way to get to the website is growgreat.com. Today, this is a special episode. I usually release episodes on Tuesday. Every once in a while, I kind of get a wild hair, and I'll release a Friday episode, and that's what today is. True Confessions, a conversation with me. Earlier in the week, I had a conversation with somebody, and I recorded my side of the conversation. I've done this in the past. I just haven't released them in the past, but I did it because I felt like, I don't know, the conversation was going in a direction I just thought might be of benefit to you. I edited it into some material that I hope encourages you, and I hope it inspires you, and I want you to enjoy this episode. I'll run by very quickly. There are a lot of talking points in this conversation. I talk about podcasting's role in my work, comparisonitis. You know, it kills a lot of people's pursuits. Success and failure, they're not as binary as most of us think. That is, we think that we are either one or the other. I talk about the pinnacle of success. It's not the only definition of success. The positive power of doing what we enjoy. This one may get some attention. Get out of your comfort zone. I think is horrible, horrible, horrible advice. Find your element is a big part of the conversation, as defined by Sir Ken Robinson in his book, The Element. It's where your natural aptitude intersects with your passion. I know. I'm not wild about the passion word either, but podcasting, that's my element. For selling, I make a true confession. Podcasting is a slow burn. It is for me. It takes time. You got to be patient. I talk about facing what you're not good at and how that can help you face what you are good at. It's about what you love versus what you hate. Solving the problem and devising the strategy, well, that doesn't mean that we can execute it. Dallas Cowboys' new head coach, Mike McCarthy, he isn't in NFL shape, but he can coach. The players, they have to execute. In our careers and businesses and lives, we have to find solutions that we can execute. Fixing other people's cars while our own car sits in disrepair? Yeah, I make that confession too. Well, and I also confess to sometimes in the past being hypocritical, you know, by trying to be something that we're not. We've all been there, done that. Spend time with yourself, coming to terms with what really matters to you. My personal and easy objective, which means, well, it also means the work and the process toward the objective, is to make a meaningful difference in the lives of other people. That really is the bottom line for me. Figuring out who and what you are so that you can decide the business you need to be in. Wasting time trying to be things we're not. I talk about the universe and how the universe is quick and effective to convince us of a ton of untruths. And there are many more ways to be successful than most of us think. Idealism. Well, idealism, that fools all of us into thinking that there's a limited number of ways to really do it. Spend more time. Spend more time with yourself trying to figure out how you need to do it. And outliers aren't a good measuring stick for our success. Success is personal to you. It's personal to what you think it is. My income goals would be considered an abject failure for wealthy folks. But failure and success are relative to what we want and what we think. Failure isn't final, but neither is your current success. Because, come on, we're always aspiring to grow and to improve. The barrier to success is the brick wall that Randy Pausch talked about in the last lecture. And doing what you love, it's a big, big, big part of the equation. Get in touch with your comfort zone where your natural aptitude intersects with what you love. And stop pushing water up a hill. Stop doing what you hate doing. Those are some of the talking points in this conversation, which I don't know. Let's see. I'll give you a clue. It runs just slightly over 30 minutes, 30 minutes and some seconds. It's edited. You'll just hear my side of the conversation. I hope you find it valuable. So listen to this, and we'll wrap up and put a bow on it at the end. It started with podcasting, and it's really always been podcasting. I was podcasting back when I was running companies. And so when I stepped away a decade or so ago, I was easily already 10 years in to podcasting just because I enjoyed writing. I enjoyed creating content. It was just easy, you know, easy stuff for me. About 40 years ago, give or take, I ran across a term, a Fiji term. I'm not from Fiji, never been to Fiji. I'd like to go someday. But the term was Bula, B-U-L-A. It is analogous to aloha in Hawaiian. It means both hello and goodbye. It means life, and it carries with it the connotation life is good. And I was fascinated by the term, and so I began to use it on internal memos to my staff. And at the beginning of the memo, I would write capital B-U-L-A exclamation mark. Yeah, I had to explain the meaning the first time, but after that, everybody understood it, just like, you know, you'll always remember it now. So when I stepped away from running companies, I thought, well, the company name has got to have Bula in it. Now, network, a lot of people misunderstood and thought, well, network, okay, you're in a podcast, you do podcasting, so it's a podcast network. Now, that was never the intent. I was just all over the place. I was the absolute opposite of a niche player. I was roll up your sleeves, get your hands dirty consulting mostly. I wasn't doing hardly any coaching at the time, even though coaching was really what I was naturally better at. I'm a problem solver. And so today's tagline has been very congruent all my career, helping leaders make better decisions faster, but really helping people leverage the power of others in that process. I can't tell you of a decision that I've made that I made in isolation. It's not how I operate. So I've always leaned on people and wanted other people's perspective because my fear was always not what I knew. My fear was what I don't know. My fear was blind spots. So it was a network in the sense of the network of services that I offered. You know, marketing, sales help, yeah, okay, I'm doing that. Succession plan, okay, doing some of that. Sales processes, yeah, okay, sometimes. Just all over the place, you know, just so not a niche player. I used to kid people. I felt like I was wearing a sandwich board that said anything for a buck, just whatever it is. So I was thinking of it as network of these different kinds of things that I was doing. Now it has since morphed and transitioned to what it truly should have been all along, in that today, Bula Network, LLC, Bula Network is a company focused and fixated on people. It's just people. I mean, the network is people, pure and simple. And so I feel like it's more congruent today than it's ever been. And the work has transitioned. I'm now, you know, I'm in the midst of the transition. Let's face it. I'm not there yet. I'm still working toward it to get this very first peer advisory group built called the Peer Advantage by Bula Network. And this first one, I don't know if I'll build any future ones. I'm thinking about it. I'm planning on it, but I don't know. I just want to get the first one built and I want to get it going. And I'm wanting to do it, number one, because it's a high value proposition. I mean, all the details are, you know, I've got them all at the website and there's no secrets to it. And I'm not being private at all about it. I mean, it's $800 a month. This is not a big investment for a multi-million dollar operator. And that's kind of my definition of people that would be ideal fits for this, people that are not offended by being called operators, small to medium-sized business owners. And these would be people that I'm thinking $3 million a year. And there's nothing hard and fast about that. I don't want $800 a month needs to be considered a no-brainer. Happily, I'll make that investment, and I'm not going to think twice about it. And I just think that a company doing, you know, a company doing $1 million, depending on what kind of company and what kind of margins they've got, they might have to think hard about it. I don't want people to have to think hard about the money investment. Neither do I want people to have to think hard about the time investment, because it's 2 hours every other week and then 1 hour one-on-one with me. So I'm trying to build this first charter group with 8, and we'll see how it goes. My intention is to convert Bula Network LLC into what I would call a peer advantage company, a peer advisory company, a company that operates professional peer groups, and then my work is done for those groups and for the individuals within those groups. So I'd love nothing better than to get up every day fixated on eight people in this group. My job is to get up every day to find out and figure out the best ways to serve these 8 people and advance all of them and push them forward. That's the goal. That's what I'm working toward. So that's the background of Bula Network. Podcasting is just easy. Other people can judge if I'm good at it or not. I think the important thing for me, and I think the important thing for everybody, is for us to feel, I think we have to feel like we're good enough to continue the pursuit. And I realize that that can be an objective thing, a subjective thing, but it really is mostly objective, in the sense that, you know, I could sit around and I could think, I'm a really good basketball player, but that doesn't mean I'm good enough to succeed at it professionally. Right. So, I mean, I could be good enough to go play out in the park, but that's a very different thing than playing it at a professional level. So we have to face the reality. But I'm good enough. I feel that way. I feel like I'm decent. I feel like I'm good. I feel like I'm good enough that I can do what I want to do. Now, I'm not trying to make a living as a podcaster. I don't sell any sponsorships. I don't do any ads. So I'm not trying to monetize the podcast. You know, everybody's fixated on it. That's just an exhausting conversation to me. I absolutely despise that conversation. And if people want to monetize. But it's interesting to me, the people that get fixated on how can I monetize, they're not the people that are going to monetize. The people that are wanting to monetize, they're not sitting around talking about it. They're doing it. They're figuring it out. Everybody else is just trying to copycat somebody. Well, good luck with all that. And I also think that we've got this, you know, we can get fixated on this failure success spectrum. It's all relative. And there's a big, big word here that is super powerful in a negative way, and that word is compared to, or phrase is compared to. The word would be compare. So I can sit around and think, well, you know, I'm not that good of a podcaster. Well, okay, compared to some of the highest ranked NPR podcasts, or some of the podcasts that make the most money, I mean, let's pick Joe Rogan. Okay, am I as good as Joe Rogan? No. Does that mean I'm a failure? Well, that'd be like saying, because I don't sing like Michael Bublé, then I'm a failure. Well, there are a ton of people out there making music, male artists that are making music, and they're being paid to make music. And what they most want to do is make music. And they're earning a living doing it. Is it a comfortable living? Maybe, maybe not. Are they having to spend countless days and hours and weeks on the road? Yes. They're not as successful as Michael Bublé, but that doesn't mean that they're a failure. Then there are a ton of people who might be good enough to be paid to make music, but they're not doing it. For whatever reason, they're not doing it. Okay, well, are they a failure? I don't know. You know, I don't feel like that's my place to judge, and I think everybody's got to figure that out for themselves. But we just have this binary view of success and failure. You are either a success or you're a failure. Well, if Michael Bublé is the success, and I'm anywhere in the music world, and I'm not at least that good, which means, you know, I'm not Ed Sheeran, or, you know, I mean, that's rarefied air really rarefied air. So to think that that pinnacle, that is the only achievement worthy of the label success, is very misguided, I think. And on the flip side, I think to consider ourselves as a failure, I could sit here and go, well, you know, I don't have a big audience. I don't have tons and tons and tons of people listening, and I'm not selling gazillions of dollars worth of stuff on my podcast. So as a podcaster, I'm a failure. No, I don't think so. I think I'm a good enough communicator. I think I'm a clear enough communicator. I think I'm a halfway decent storyteller. And, you know, I leverage it, but I like to do it. I enjoy it. Getting up to create content is not difficult. It's just not difficult. And I'm a big believer in us. This whole comfort zone thing drives me crazy. You know, you got to get out of your comfort zone. I tend to lean the opposite. I tend to think you need to find your comfort zone. I mean, that space where you operate at your ideal peak, that's where you need to be. I mean, people call it being in flow. They call it being in the zone. Sir Ken Robinson talks about being in your element. All of that is exact opposite of get outside your comfort zone. That's find your comfort zone. I think in too many cases, we've really gotten ourselves twisted up on the definition of comfort zone. You know, it doesn't mean you're sitting back in your easy chair and you're doing nothing. It's what is it that you do well and you love to do it? For me, podcasting. Podcasing was the thing. Podcasting is, you know, is the vehicle. I like it. No, it's a slow burn. It's not, I'm good at, if you believe in the notion that teaching sells, and I do, then I'm a fairly good sales person in that regard. What I'm not good at, and I mean it in the most flattering way possible, I'm not good at being pushy enough. I'm not good at imposing. And to be a really, really good, terrific, top-notch, consistent performer in sales, you have to be. You just have to be. You have to kind of be a monomaniac on a mission and believe that what you have is so high value. Now, I realize there are some mercenary guys out there. I know some mercenary guys and gals that, you know, give them something, and if there's a big enough commission, they're going to find a way to peddle it effectively. But aside from that group, and that's a rare, in my experience, those are rare people. It's rare the person that's got the skill set and also kind of has that kind of a frame of mind. I do know people who are really good at selling things that they truly believe in, and they are at their ideal best when they get connected with a company and organization that has a product or service that's congruent with who they are. And they have no problem. They have no problem making the calls. They have no problem making the cold calls. They have no problem with any of it because they so believe in it. And admittedly, they are very money driven. Number one, I'm not very money driven. Number two, I really hate imposing on people. And it's just problematic for me. So podcasting suits me. And we can sit here and we can say, well, you ought to be this and you ought to be that and you ought to be this other. When it comes to making decisions and finding solutions, I'm really good. He says with all the humility of a braggart. I am. I'm a good problem solver. I've always been a good problem solver. I can see a problem and I can break it down fairly quickly, and I can at least see what the next step or two should probably be. And more often than not, I'm going to be closer to right than wrong. Here's the problem. That doesn't mean I can do it now. I can sit here and architect it, and I may can tell people. I mean, I have conversations all the time with people that they want to do this, they want to do that. Now, whatever it is that they're wanting to do, I don't want to do it. I wouldn't want to do it for all the tea in China, but they want to do it. And so I'm able to distill it down and say, well, here's a step that could take you in the right direction. Here's another step that could take you in the right direction. Now, just because I can architect that does not mean I can do it, right? I mean, I coached hockey, inline hockey, even at the collegiate club level, for a lot of years. I know the game of hockey. I have been a student of the game of hockey since I was young, and I know hockey. I don't know how to play hockey. I can coach people to play hockey, but I can't even skate. So I can't do it, but I can absolutely coach it. There's no question I can coach it because I've spent years coaching it. I know how to coach it. I understand it strategically. I understand it as a game within a game as well. So even at the individual level, but don't ask me to do it. That'd be like telling a football coach, I mean, the Dallas Cowboys just hired Mike McCarthy, you know, from ex-Packer coach. And I mean, here's a guy, I mean, no offense, but I mean, come on, the dude doesn't, he's not built like a world-class athlete. That doesn't mean he can't coach. He doesn't have to be a world-class athlete. He doesn't have to be the guy doing the blocking, tackling, passing, catching, running, but he can coach those things. So in that regard, finding a solution to a problem, solving a problem, helping somebody make a better decision faster, I can do it. I may not be able to execute it. And part of the problem for me really was, it's kind of like that proverbial mechanic fixing everybody else's car. Meanwhile, there's his car up on blocks. Well, that was true for me for a long, long time. You know, my car was up on blocks. I'm sitting here trying to help other people get their cars running. And meanwhile, mine's in disrepair in the garage because I was not eating my own dog food. Well, let's call it what it is. It's called hypocrisy, you know, being a hypocrite, not doing the very thing that I was urging people to do. And that was basically take a look at yourself, take a look at what you're good at. My personal belief is take a look at what you're good at and what you love to do, and where those two things hit is what Dr. Sir Ken calls, that's the element. You're in your element where your natural aptitude and your passion intersect. So where is that? Well, so many people don't spend time looking at that, and I finally spent some time looking at that, and I thought, well, it boils down to, you know, it started out with, okay, well, writing, creating content, podcasting. Okay, but let's go deeper than that. Those are just mechanics. Those are just the tools. Those are just the vehicles. So what is it? What is it really? And it really, for me, it really boiled down to communication. It boiled down to, I want to communicate. Okay, well, what does that boil down to? What really boils down to is I really want to make a meaningful difference in somebody's life. That's the pure and simple selfish part of it. But that's not selfish at all. I want to inspire somebody. I want to help somebody. I want to motivate somebody. I want to lift somebody up. I want to encourage somebody. I want to help somebody through some struggle. Those are the things that I just gravitate to. I mean, I kid people and I'm like, I'm a first responder to those things. I mean, that burning building that is somebody's life that they're trying to get back on track, I'm rushing into that building all day long. It's just who I am. Other people steer clear of it. I mean, they hate it. I've got really, really, really good friends that I love dearly, and they hate nothing more than to have a really deep emotional conversation. I love it. I absolutely love it. Other conversations exhaust me. But it's just the difference in people, which is the whole kind of notion behind fish climbing trees and all that. Fish don't climb trees. So what are you? Squirrels climb trees, and they climb trees really, really well. If you're a squirrel, man, you need to be in the tree climbing business. But if you're a fish, you don't need to be in the tree climbing business. That's the worst business you could be in. So it's knowing who you are. Well, I finally had to come to grips with who I was, and I'm not, you know, I'm just not this rock star. I'm just not this rock star sales marketing guy. I love to write and produce content, and I love to share it, and I love to help influence people. I really don't want to be the center of attention, which is sounds super incongruent with having a podcast, but I'm alone. I mean, come on. I mean, I'm sitting here producing content by myself. I can put it out to the ether. That's very different than being on a stage. I've got friends, business acquaintances, and buddies that, you know, they want to be in the spotlight. I am an ideal number two guy to aim the spotlight at them. Right? I mean, I enjoy aiming the spotlight at them. They want it. They're good at it. Hooray for you. I don't want it. It's not what I want to do. If I had to get up every day knowing that I've got to get on a plane and I got to go give a speech, blow my brains out. Giving the speech would not be problematic, but having to get there and be away from home, I would so dread it. And I know guys that enjoy nothing more than living out of a suitcase and going to a city and being there for a couple of days and then flying off to some other place. And they enjoy the adoration of being on a stage, and the bigger, the better. I don't. I could do it. It would exhaust me. No, give me this. Give me one-on-one conversations. Give me small groups where we can really dive into some deep stuff. And give me some people that are willing to share and willing to be vulnerable so that I can sit back and listen. And if I can provide some help, great. And if I can't, I'm still curious. I'm really curious. So I think universally those are the important things. And I could be wrong, but that's just what my life and so far my life experiences have taught me. I think we waste an awful lot of time trying to be things that we're not. I think we waste a lot of time berating ourselves because we're not what the universe has convinced us we need to be in order to be that thing, that successful thing that we want to be. And the fact is, you can look at any endeavor in life and you can find people who have done it in very different ways. So I get fixated on leadership, for instance, and as much as I want to think that, you know what, to be a really, really good leader, you've got to be a good person. I believe that's true, but it probably is a matter of semantics for me because I just kind of have this specific thing in mind when I think about leadership, and not everybody does. The boss is the leader. Well, I just don't subscribe to that. There are a lot of people that want authority and have authority, and they are the boss, but they may not be the leader. I've known some business people who were terrifically effective autocrats. My way or the highway. I mean, they tolerated no collaboration, no connectivity. They're the boss. They're the boss, and what they say goes. But boy, could they produce results. Now, they could have done it largely out of fear and manipulation and all kinds of things that I don't subscribe to, but you can't deny the results. You know, I'm a student of history, and I've read about Harold Janin. Harold Janin was the big fat cat at the top of ITT. Well, ITT back in the day, they were the first conglomerate, right? The first company that had a lot of other companies under their umbrella. The man was ruthless. I mean, notoriously ruthless, noted for reducing grown men in business meetings to tears, you know, a tyrant of tyrants. But buddy, did they get results? You know, they were incredible in what they achieved. I don't agree with the way it was, but that is simply proof that there's not just one way. We get all idealistic and we get all romantic and sentimental and think, well, you know, you got to be this and you got to be that. No, you don't. No, you don't. I mean, there are people that are in show business that are horrifically introverted, and there are other people that are extraordinarily extroverted. So there isn't one way to do it. There's the way that you need to do it. And I think that's the challenge. The challenge is for us to spend enough time with ourselves to figure out, how do I need to do this? How can I do this? And the problem that we have is we like to, if I wanted to be an author, if I wanted to be a published author, if I wanted to write fiction, I could sit here and I could think, well, you know, anything less than J.K. Rowling's going to be a failure, right? I mean, so if we're going to compare, I mean, nobody is selling more books than J.K. Rowling. Well, then she's the success. Everybody else is a failure. No, everybody else isn't a failure. There's a lot of successful authors, a lot of successful novelists and fiction writers and nonfiction writers. They're not J.K. Rowling. They don't have her success. You know, they're not multi-billionaires because of their writing, but that doesn't mean that it's not worthwhile and that they're not successful. And we look at her and we could, and listen, she caught lightning in a bottle. She just did. It happens. I'm not diminishing her talent. She had talent, but she had talent and she had an idea and the timing was right and it blew up. Now, to her credit, she's absolutely known how to manage it and what to do with it. Kudos to her. It happens. And we look and we think as we compare ourselves and think, well, you know, I haven't caught lightning in a bottle. And we think we've got to catch lightning in a bottle or else we're not successful. It's foolish. It's absolutely foolish. You know, there are all these levels of success and there's all these definitions of success. And I think we have got to spend enough time with ourselves to figure out, what do we think it is? I mean, what do we think it is? I mean, I can sit here and I could throw some numbers at you and tell you that there's some income numbers that I aspire to. And there are people, I mean, here in Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas, where I live, there are a lot of people who would think, man alive, I would be ready to blow my brains out if that's the only amount of money I made. It's just true. I mean, if you take a couple of the big premier rich folks here in town, you know, sports owners, Mark Cuban and Jerry Jones, I mean, the gazillions of dollars that these billionaires, multi-billionaires are making, their kids probably have allowances that would exceed the amount of money that I might aspire to make. So at their level, financial success looks very different than what it looks like for me. So what does that mean? That mean failure? No, it doesn't mean failure. I know some musicians armed with a guitar. The goal, be paid to make music and be paid to make their own music, to sing their own songs. And they're doing it. And they're doing it. I mean, do they have big palatial mansions? Have they got a stable of cars? No. Are they living in buses and hotel rooms a lot? Yes. Are they staying in 5-star hotels? No. But they love it because they love playing their music. They love playing their songs. Success. Is it the success that they ultimately want? No, no. They'd like to be able to live a better lifestyle. They'd like to stay in nicer places. They'd like to be paid more for shows so they don't have to play as many shows. Might that happen? We'll see. Time will tell. Meanwhile, here's the important thing. Meanwhile, day by day, they're putting in the work. And they're able to put in the work because they love it so. If they didn't love it so, they wouldn't do it. And there's the barrier for success. There's that brick wall that Randy Pausch in the last lecture talks about. That brick wall is there to keep all the other people out. The people who say they want to play music for a living, but they're not willing to be out on the road doing what these folks are doing. They're never going to achieve it because they're not putting in the work. Well, guess what? They don't love it. They don't love putting in that work. They don't love making that sacrifice. I talk to people all the time that go like, how in the world do you've been podcasting for a long time? I don't know how you do it. I couldn't do it. Well, that's why you're not doing it. You don't want to do it. It's not easy for you to do it. It's not difficult for me. I have to work at it. Don't get me wrong. But the musician that's playing his own music, he's got to work at it. But he loves it. He loves it. And so it's not as difficult for him as it is for somebody who hates it. So I really am a big believer in getting in touch with our comfort zone, with comfort zone being defined as that place where our natural aptitude and what we love intersect, the element. When we are in our element, I believe that we are putting ourselves in the very best position possible for success. And when we refuse to do that, we're pushing water up a hill. And it's a hard, hard way to go. And it's life sucking. It absolutely is life sucking. There's no reason to do it. I hope you found that conversation profitable. I had a hankering that you might, so I hope you do. If you care to contact me, yeah, just go to the website, growgreat.com. Fill out that contact form over there and shoot me an email. Let me know what you think about this. I don't know. After I got done, I thought, yeah, you know, there might be, this might help somebody. So if it helps you, great. Otherwise, I appreciate you giving me more than 30 minutes of your time. Today's podcast is all of them. I'm really working hard trying to build this charter group of the Peer Advantage. I would invite you, if you are the owner of a small to medium-sized business, and I talked about it already in the conversation, you know, kind of who this is aimed at, so I won't reiterate that, but you can find all the details, including the fine print, at thepeeradvantage.com. I'm looking for just 8 really unique, super courageous, super vulnerable, super willing to share and help and be helped kind of folks to be members of this charter group of The Peer Advantage. Thepeeradvantage.com is where you can find all the details. My name is Randy Cantrell. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. I hope you will be well, do good, grow great, have a great weekend, and Lord willing, I will talk to you next week. It'll be March 2020. See you then.